The population is considerable, and there's plenty of visual evidence in our region to suggest that. That's in the form of roadkill koalas on many of our arterial roads leading into the city of Portland, and also with tree deaths in the region due to overbrowsing. More generally, within the city of Portland, there seems to be clear evidence of some animals that are becoming a welfare issue and visibly unhealthy animals.
When you say welfare issue, what do you mean by that?
There's suffering from a lack of food.
Mm. Do we know what's causing this lack of food?
Lack of trees.
What's causing the lack of trees?
A combination of not many to start with, and more broadly, since European settlement, considerable amounts or numbers of manigums have been cleared historically. So we were operating at a low base to start with. So given that and what appears to be an expanding population of koalas, that's put a lot of pressure on the remaining trees.
Mm.
And also we're seeing natural attrition in the landscape through tree removals for whatever reason. So we've basically got a situation where there isn't enough available habitat.
So would that suggest then that there would be multiple koalas, so to speak, competing for the same tree, the same habitat?
In a sense, they're very territorial, so particularly the males, so there's a pecking order situation. And basically, a contributing factor to the roadkill situation is that generally looking for new territory, so to speak.
What do you think needs to happen to reduce this threat?
It's a multifaceted approach. It's not any one silver bullet. There's a number of actions that could be taken and probably need to be taken in regard to fertility control. Certainly, there's limited opportunities for translocations due to a lack of available habitat in the broader region.
Mm.
There's opportunities. Obviously, we need more trees in the ground. The implications of the losses of considerable numbers of manigums is that the impacts are not just on koalas, but there's also a range of birds and animals that also rely on them apart from the koala.
Mm-hmm.
So there needs to be a multifaceted approach, as I said.
This isn't the first time you've spoken to the ABC on this topic. I remember seeing one article you were featured in as far back as 2015. Over the years, how has this issue progressed?
It's progressed at a glacial pace. We're very disappointed that government haven't acted with the urgency we think is required. We've taken a long-term view, the Portlandfield Naturalist Club, that the impacts of climate change and the current trajectory of climate change may well see this population in the not-too-distant future as being a critical population in terms of the long-term survival of koalas. The reality is that we're not replacing what's being lost at a sufficient rate. That certainly will have impacts not only on the koala itself in terms of its overall health, but also other species.
And just lastly, Doug, we posted a photo last week on our social media account, ABC Ballarat and ABC Southwest Vic, of a koala holding onto a tractor, and it looked quite cute and quite funny. So, but when we posted it, we got a bit of a backlash from people saying that obviously this animal was looking for habitat. Do you think the general public, you touched on the government before, but do you think the general public has an idea of the threats facing koalas right now in Southwest Victoria?
Yeah, I think the public are getting a pretty good handle on the situation with the population of koalas and available habitat, and that there will be implications if something isn't done to address the issue.
Doug Phillips, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.